Welcome to the Off Five. Are you still watching The Office US version?
I am. I'm Nathan.
Me too. I'm Addie.
Welcome, because we're going to talk about the episode called Halloween. It takes place on Halloween, and it came out October 18th, 2005. Just a little bit before Halloween of that year.
Nice.
Yep.
2005, and let's read the Wikipedia synopsis.
No banter? Okay. In this episode...
We'll save you. For now.
The employees at Dunder Mifflin celebrate Halloween at the office. Michael Scott struggles with making the decision of whom to fire. Meanwhile, Jim Halpert and Pam Beasley post Dwight Schrute's resume on the internet.
The internet?
To the point, I would say.
Yeah, I think it was a good synopsis. I'm actually surprisingly satisfied with that.
And plus, he says whom correctly.
Yeah, I love when people use whom.
Yeah. I know it's a real word, but I've never been sure when to use it.
No, actually, but it sounds good.
I hadn't learned how to use it from The Office.
Really?
Yeah, use it like an object.
Just throw
it anywhere.
Throw it anywhere.
Whenever I come in, I throw whom in a box.
Actually, I was doing an Oscar. I don't actually know the actual.
Who did know? It was Pam.
It's a direct object?
Or an indirect object.
It could be an indirect object.
Ryan used me as an object. Let's go Great Scott Productions. Oh, I said this summary doesn't give any spoilers, though. It's like the one that would have come out before the episode, you know?
Yeah, I like that, though.
Yeah, it's cool. So I guess we'll find out later when
who got
Devin
fired.
Gets...
Oh,
So Great Scott Productions, it was written by executive producer and showrunner Greg Daniels and was directed by Paul Feig. And it has guest stars. Guest stars in this episode included... Devin Abner, Hugh Dane, George Gauss, Annabelle Kopac, Ava Nisbet, and Alex Bornak.
I know Devin.
Devin?
Yeah, I remember him. He had the same name.
He did? He had the same name. He's a guest star. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
Who are all these other people? The kids at the end?
Oh, maybe.
Guest starring with their little grabbing candy with their grubby little fingers. I know who one of them is.
Who?
Hugh Dane. I know who that is. It's the security guard. What's his name?
Oh, what's up, man?
The chief.
Chief. How's it going, chief?
Hank? No, his name's not Hank.
Isn't it Hank?
Yeah, I know, but Jim says his name's not Hank. But anyway,
just putting on my socks.
But we see him briefly.
We do?
Yeah, when Michael's walking out.
Oh.
But there's actually a deleted scene, which I didn't watch, but... What I got from the Dunder Mifflin
Pedia
is that... I like saying the wrong vowels. The wrong vowels. Is that Michael first tries to fire Hank, but then he's not really a Dunder Mifflin employee, so he can't. That's probably why they have a strained relationship in the future. Well, I guess it's not canon because they deleted it. They deleted the scene.
Oh my gosh, that is hilarious.
You should have watched that one. Oh well. What about the stuff that's so fine in this episode when we find all the good things that are good?
So much. I love when the janitors vacuum the spider webs.
Yeah.
That is so Halloween-y.
Would they really do that? Like, they know cobwebs don't grow that fast, right? How often do they clean that place?
It's so funny, though. It's so good. That cutaway where it's just like... Brrr. Maybe that's one of the guest stars.
Oh,
he's a shop vac.
Either way, they're not stars except for.
Yeah, it's just like, it's a guest appearance. That's what it should be. But
yeah, it's like it's nothing. Anyway, but will the camera crew hang out there all night?
Yeah, that's a good point.
And then they're like,
I didn't think of that.
They're like, well, we can't step in because you know we got to keep nature. And it's like, just tell them that we saw them put these up today. It's like, no, shh, watch him work. This is good for the documentary. We got to watch him do this. That way we're getting more footage because then later on they'll have to, you know, it's cool. It's cool. Plus they'll discuss it later. It'll be hilarious.
Yeah, that's true. You just took all the magic out of it.
Sorry.
No. I didn't even think of that part.
Maybe the documentary guy came back and he was like, oh, I forgot my camera charger.
That's
and then
true.
And then
saw
he needed
them.
The cleaning guys to let him in.
Yeah.
But he doesn't speak Spanish.
Hank does.
Does he?
Maybe.
Sings the blues. He speaks blues.
What did you like? What finer things did you have?
I love the camera angle that they get on Dwight when he's arguing with Michael. It's very Star Wars-y.
Yeah.
It's like Revenge of the Sith?
It's like I've never seen that movie, but so like when I saw Dwight's costume, I also thought he was a monk.
Really? With a sword? One of those sword monks?
I mean, how Phyllis feels about his costume is how I feel. I was like, what are you, a monk? Okay, you're a Sith Lord. Okay.
You think he's an ass?
Okay.
Hi. Well, I have Star Wars besmirched on this podcast, but I like it. Not Dwight.
Not Dwight. Yeah, that angle was amazing. That's like one of my favorite. I always think about that.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Very good. He's got like face makeup on too to make him look more Sith-y.
It's so good.
What was he thinking? Like, that's not something they wear. And stuff.
No. I don't know. Are they? Who?
When you become a Sith Lord, you have to put on makeup.
Good to know for my Star Wars knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah, you got one. What's next?
I love Jim's impression of Michael when they're trying to do the role playing. Mm-hmm. And Jim takes it one step further and answers a call. And then Michael gets really upset. I like how Michael can switch back. He's Creed for 1 second and then like the next minute and like threatening suicide. And then the next minute he's just like, he's like, well, I don't know what to do, Jim. And he's like, wait, are you Creed? And then Michael just says, try to keep up.
Yeah. He's like, so you gotta funny. Like, he's gotta improvise better. And then Michael, or then Jim does.
Yeah. And he's like,
he doesn't
get out of here. I gotta take this Creed.
That leads me to one of my favorite things, which is Toby calls. Well, I don't know why Toby's calling Michael.
Yeah.
But when, so he's like, get out, tells Jim to leave, and then he just hangs up the phone. And then Michael doesn't even talk to him.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
As soon as he gets to the other side of the desk, he just hangs up the phone and goes, I gotta figure out who to fire, you know?
Yeah, because he probably knows that Toby's calling to say, hey, gotta figure out someone to fire. I've been getting hounded all day.
Is Toby in the office?
I mean, he's in HR, so he probably is who they have to go through for the severance package and stuff.
Yeah, but do you see him?
I haven't seen him in this episode.
I didn't see him either.
No.
Must have been in the annex the whole time.
It's icky back there.
Yeah, people say it's icky.
I like when Michael is asking everyone who to fire.
Yeah.
Especially Pam. Because she just, like, she realizes that all you have to do is compliment him.
Yeah.
And then you're safe.
Yeah, it takes her, like, a second to be like, oh, my God, I'm getting fired. I'll just say he's funny. Nobody says that.
Exactly. And she does that later on, remember?
Hot tie guy.
Yeah, exactly.
There's that ass.
Trying to get the chair. Chairs. There's that ass.
Don't take it away. Yeah. Probably my least favorite Pam line of the whole series.
Don't take
the way
it
she
away.
Says, don't take it away.
Don't take it away. Ew.
You nailed it, but yeah, not like that. One of my favorite things is that with Michael having the fake head on the whole time that has the same tie and everything as him, that he's got a big smile on his face, but Michael really doesn't smile this episode, so it's like the drama heads, you know, like the comedy
I
drama.
I love that. I was wondering who put the time in. I would just like to thank whoever made that paper mache head, because it was a pretty good likeness.
Yeah, I was actually gonna watch it with commentary or the deleted scenes to find that out, and I didn't. But you know, maybe in the future a podcast will come out and answer that for us.
Well, stay tuned. We'll let you know if we hear a podcast about The Office.
Yeah. If we find out, we'll put it on our Facebook page, which you should like and join our Finer Things Club on the Facebook, because we're gonna have that competition where we give away season one DVD signed by us with little, like, well, there's gonna be like a hot sauce packet and a golf pencil in there too, because of how much we love you.
Inside jokes.
Do you got anything else for Finer Things Club?
Yeah, I loved Dwight's resume and his like supplemental, is that a word? Supplemental addendum to his resume, the martial arts resume.
Okay, yeah.
That was pretty funny, and I love how Jim and Pam put that on the interwebs to try to get him out of state.
I know, you
which
can hear
would have solved all the problems.
The other side of that conversation is like, well, we don't think that's relevant. He's like, excuse me.
Yeah, that was really funny when
about
he was talking to whoever. Cumberland Mills.
That will disagree.
Yeah, that was good. What else did you have for Finer Things?
I loved that there are not one, not two, but three cats in this office. Three cat costumes.
Oh, I didn't.
Pam, Phyllis, and Angela are all cats.
Oh, that's right. Very different takes, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going for kitten.
Yeah, I think Angela was definitely going for kitten. I think Phyllis was more of a cougar, like a big cat.
Mm-hmm.
And Pam was...
You're saying she's a big cougar?
I'm just saying that she had like the leopard print, you know?
Okay.
And Pam was like more of the classic cat, the classic Halloween cat, the black cat.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So all different takes. I loved all the costumes in this episode.
Yeah. I liked the costumes. I liked Kevin's Dunderman or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's weird that nobody comments on it. He obviously put so much work into his. Everyone's fawning over Jim. What about... It's like...
Of course.
Yeah.
But I do think that a lot of the costumes were either foreshadowing or just kind of like a hilarious side joke. For example, Devin is a hobo. Which he, as you know, gets fired. So maybe he does end up a real hobo. Oh, Oscar dressing up as... he's gender bending a little bit, which is kind of ironic since he is gay, I guess. I don't know.
I don't even think they knew that at this point. But Michael still makes a joke about it.
Yeah, Michael makes a joke about it. But
they don't reveal it until season three.
Yeah, there's no indication. But it was kind of interesting that he decided to do that cross dress.
Yeah. We should say that gay people don't dress up as the other gender.
That's what I was just going to clarify that.
I mean, they also can if they want.
Doesn't Everyone mean can. That. Just because he cross-dresses doesn't mean he's gay, but
That's what Michael's implying.
Yeah, exactly.
When you ask him what he's implying, that's... Yeah. I don't think he's implying that he's...
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's just experimenting.
It is weird that he would dress up as a woman, though. Something... I think this is starting to change, but for most of the time I've been alive, people that dress up as women for Halloween or like for things like that...
Or bros. Are,
yeah, like really masculine bros, because they're like... I'm so masculine, it doesn't even matter if I would. Yeah. Because I would be a woman. Look at these muscles.
But that's the thing is that Oscar is not like that. Mm-hmm. He's taken his costume very seriously.
He gets his dress stuck, though.
Yeah.
Not enough experience.
Nope. He's trying it out.
Also wearing a nice dress is Kelly.
Kelly. Oh, yeah. She's Dorothy. Did you know I'm from Kansas?
Yeah. Did the audience know that, though?
I'm from Kansas.
Oh, yeah. I think we said it when we were talking about the Great Depression. Hilarious.
Well, Kansas always comes up with the Great Depression and Wizard of Oz, and that's about it. But yep. Dorothy, yeah, it's a good costume. I've been Dorothy before.
You have?
Mm-hmm.
Why? For Halloween?
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting take.
Because I'm a white girl from Kansas?
Yeah, it's like... It's so so perfect that it kind of comes back around again and seems absurd.
Yeah, Kelly.
We're just kind of burning through a lot of the stuff I had for the other sections.
The characters,
but, you know,
yeah.
Michael, at this point, bringing back a little of that inadvertent racism where he's like, oh, it's so interesting that you would...
Should have been Bennett like Beckham.
An interesting take that, like, that you would be this person.
The only pop culture reference that he knows of Indians is mm-hmm. Bennett like Beckham.
Yeah. And I don't want to criticize because Kelly's the victim in this scene. But when she says, yeah, I guess I don't really play soccer, that's not a very good reason. Like, with Michael's like, well, I don't really have two heads. And it's like, that's true. Your Halloween costume doesn't need to be who you are. Like,
are you from Kansas? Because it seems a little weird that you're dressed up as Dorothy if you're not from Kansas.
It would be better if she was like, I've never seen that movie. Or, you know, or think, like, all right, I didn't like that movie or something like that. You know, because that would be a better reason to not be it for Halloween than like not playing soccer.
Yeah.
And also, that would be such a bad costume.
Yeah.
Because it'd be like, because your race would have to be half of your costume.
Yeah.
Like, what are you, a soccer player? No, I'm Bennett like Beckham. Can't you tell that I'm Indian?
Yeah.
Like, oh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's never
but
a
yeah,
good
that's,
idea.
That's racism in that Michael's racism never has any, like, grounds.
Yeah. It'd be like if you were a black person, you're wearing a suit on Halloween, and someone's like, oh, you're Samuel Jackson from Pulp Fiction. You'd be like,
that's the only.
No, I'm just wearing a suit.
Oh my god!
Going to work.
I'm going to work.
my office doesn't dress up. And also, yeah, I look great in a suit. I got it.
You know what's ickier than the annex is Michael's racism.
Gross. It really Icky. Is. And it sucks for things like that because the camera people are just standing there. It's gonna be in the documentary, but no one else is around.
Yeah.
So Kelly is just getting, I don't know, like really.
She's getting shit on, and like the cameraman's not doing anything about it.
She's just like kind of, yeah, I don't know, just like happens in the little connection area there, and then that goes on. Which she can, like, it's not really like overt enough that she's gonna like go tell other people about it, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But it's still not appropriate. No, shouldn't be doing that at all. Oh, Michael.
Which is classic of Michael Scott. Michael Gary Scott.
Michael
Gary Scott.
He's the manager of this orifice. Yeah, okay. Well, I don't even have any questions. We're zipping through. Let's.
I do have a question.
Oh, you have a question.
Yes.
You never have questions.
Why would Jim talk up... Jim, as Michael, talk up Dwight to a potential... new employer, when that doesn't make sense? Like, if you'd want to keep him, you'd want to keep him if he was the single best employee of the
world. Generation.
Yeah, of his generation.
Well, Dwight wants to move on. What can you do? He's leaving on such good terms. And he's moving.
Doesn't make any sense.
That's true. That is a good question.
But it's a catch 22. What is he going to say? He's a bad employee then, and they're not going to hire him? Because they say, like, oh, you're... Jim should have just been like, wait, he's looking for other employment? Oh, my goodness.
I should have known that. He's so good.
Yeah, exactly.
He's always been too good for us. You know what he should have done?
What?
Not patched him in to Jim, but patched him right into Michael, who would have genuinely had this reaction because he wanted to get rid of somebody today.
Yeah. See,
and Pam that knew that.
That's a good answer.
Although he probably would have messed it up.
Yeah, he totally would have.
He screws up everything.
But yeah, I really liked that. That was a question that I had. My other question was, who made the paper mache? But we didn't really answer that question.
Well, he sent away for it.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So he probably sent him a picture and...
to Fiverr.
What a waste of money. That's pretty cool, though.
So...
You know it's going to make a comeback.
Yeah.
You remember?
No.
In Diwali?
Jackson? Diwali?
No, the head.
It does?
Yeah. But you know what I really wish is that he had named his other head.
Yeah, me too. Like Michael Scarn.
Yeah, they have the same first name.
Michael Scott, Michael Scarn.
They're conjoined twins with different last names and the same first name.
Oh my gosh. I knew two twins in high school named David Salazar Robinson and Dan Salazar Robinson.
That's pretty close.
Yeah, it's DSR.
I knew a twin named Jerry.
And what was the twin name?
Thomas. Seriously.
What about Timmy and Tommy? Tibble from Arthur.
I saw on the internet that people named their twins Luke and Leia.
Oh my god.
So they can grow up later and make out. This film called Star Wars.
Star Wars. I've seen A New Hope.
Well, they're in that one. Stars of...
Oh, that's that right. One. So my best Halloween costume never saw the light of day.
Because you wore it at night?
No, I never wore it.
Oh.
But it was a really great Halloween costume that required a lot of paper mache work.
Uh-huh.
So what I did was I got a huge beach ball, 5-foot beach ball that I ordered on Amazon.
Wow. Amazon.com.
Amazon.com. I covered it in paper mache.
Papermache.com.
Fourlayers.com.
Fourlayers.com.
Papermache.com. And then I let it dry, painted it white, and then guess what I was going to be?
Because
I just wore it as there's a head, a hole for my head, and a hole for two arms, and a hole for my legs.
Beer pong?
No, I was going to be Wilson from Castaway.
Oh, cool. What happened?
I realized that I... couldn't fit through doorways.
How does Wilson deal with that? Oh, he's a smaller.
Yeah, he's a smaller version.
And also, he lives on an island with no doors.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, I also was new to Baltimore. And I don't know if you know this, but it's hard to break into the social scene in Baltimore. I had no friends.
You should have just been Volley Baltimore.
Volley Baltimore. But yeah, I didn't go out. I couldn't go out because I couldn't fit through door. Like, you can't go to a bar as Wilson by yourself.
Yeah, and if you fall, you might accidentally roll down a hill.
Yeah, and you know, like, then I moved away from Baltimore before the next Halloween, so I had to just cut up the paper mache that I made and throw it away, and it was really cathartic.
Because it was like, goodbye, Baltimore. Goodbye, Volley, Baltimore.
Yeah, exactly.
Do they have, like, a river in town?
Yeah, really. It's, like, full of needles.
That's too bad. What if you fell in and then you floated away? Like, I was with a party called Dunder Mifflin.
Or I was yelling,
look
Tom
at what
Hanks!
I'm doing and tell someone that. Oh yeah, everyone, you'd be like floating, you're like, help, and everyone just be like, well, sad. And then they like and then leave.
Oh,
like, I just got to reenact my favorite scene. I was Tom Hanks and she was Wilson. What happened to her? That's what they're saying years later. Probably down there amongst the needles now.
I'm glad that didn't happen to me.
That was a great tangent. Oh, good job. Because this is we're being real efficient with this episode, you know. Mm. I should stop saying that because it's a jinx for sure.
Yeah. Oh, we're only 25 minutes in.
Yeah. Right. So one other thing about Kevin, we're doing characters now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think world is crawling with Stanley trees
or Phyllis flowers?
So Kevin is Denderman, but he also gets what Angela is saying about the department thing. I have one more question.
Okay.
Wait, I do have a question. I forgot.
Of course you do.
What was the deal with Michael asking accounting to find a salary? Because I thought that he meant if they had that money, then maybe they wouldn't have to let someone go. But I don't think that would work. You'd be like, oh, hey, Jan, guess what? We were so bad at accounting. Turns out we have more money, and now we don't need to let someone go. They'll be like, okay, can you still let someone go? Because then we'll have the extra money. Like, but then also, they immediately take that as, whose job can we replace? Right? And then they're like, accounting. Because we have three people. But that didn't seem like what Michael was asking. It seemed like he wanted to not fire somebody. Like, he didn't say, can you look at where a salary is that we don't need it? But maybe he did mean that. Then it would be like, that would be a great person to fire. But obviously, accounting doesn't stab themselves in the back.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. And I also immediately thought, $50,000? That's what they're getting paid for their job?
With benefits.
That's amazing. I would do that job any day for 50 grand.
It's probably like 40 because it includes their benefits. Although their benefits are, you know, bare bones
by minimum now. Yeah.
Cut to the... Anyway, I just don't understand that. I also don't understand why you would just let someone go without any real attention paid to like what their job was. Like, what was Devin's job? You're going to let Creed go? He's the quality control person. You have to replace him.
Like, every position or every department has to be assessed differently instead of, like, we'll try to fire Stanley, and then if we can't, we'll just move on to a different department. Like, it doesn't make sense.
I'm sure he wanted to fire Toby.
Yeah, and also, like, why does he have to just choose someone to fire? Like, why can't they just say no one's getting raises or, like, you know, we've streamlined this certain department, so you're going to have to let this person go.
That's how downsizing works. It's not just like fire anybody.
Yeah.
And salespeople get paid less because they're getting commission.
So
if you fire them, now you're not getting the commission and you didn't save that much money because you weren't paying them as much.
And you have to pay severance.
Yeah. So it'd be better to fire someone that works in a department with redundancy, like accounting, not just a person. Like, you got quality control, you got Kelly in customer service. A lot of the people are salespeople, and it seems like he's actually considering those. We're going to fire the receptionist?
Yeah.
Not then, have a receptionist anymore? It doesn't make any sense that would be the thing. Although, if that were the case, and like he said, it's a popularity contest, I'm surprised Michael didn't try a thing where everyone just had to vote. Like, vote someone off the office.
Yeah, that's true.
Because who could really complain about that? If he really doesn't think anyone's doing a bad enough job to be gone, and who do you think would get fired then?
Probably
Dwight.
Well, yeah, and my question too is, like, if they are trying to fire a full-time employee, why do they have a temp, you know?
Yeah, and also, what a bad day to ask for a promotion.
Yeah.
Dwight, read the room a little.
Oh, great, you solved all my problems. No, I can't get it. That look that he gives to the camera is so funny, and I think that's one of the first Dwight looks at the camera, like, are you getting this? Because, like, he felt, like, so bad about, like, bringing that up and then not being able to follow through on
it. I love that performance because he just goes slower and slower.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Because he's like, yes, that would be great. And he's like, so I was hoping to be made assistant regional manager.
That was a hilarious. Yeah, that was a hilarious moment.
Great job by Rainn Wilson on that one.
And since we're talking about that camera work, we should mention Michael seeing Jim talking shit on him to the camera crew.
Mm-hmm.
And he, right before that hilarious moment of role playing,
yeah,
he's like talking shit on Michael. And so then Michael has to call him into the office.
Yeah. And he thinks he's gonna get fired.
Yeah.
And as soon as he finds out he's not, he's back to messing with him.
Yeah. And then right when he leaves, that's when that awkward moment happens with Jim and Pam, where Pam says, oh my God, what happened?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And kind of grabs his hand and he's like, no, it wasn't me. And walks away.
Yeah.
Because he's like,
his feelings are hurt.
Yeah. Okay, Jim. Why are you being so, like, you know she's in a relationship.
Yeah.
Like, she's trying to help you out by encouraging you to do something, you know? I mean, I get it, but you don't need to make her feel weird.
Should we get right into it with them?
Yeah.
Because I was just listening to and editing the episode with the Office Olympics, and I was saying it was kind of sad that he was hanging on to all this stuff. Now it's even deeper. Because it's not like he's like hoping. He's giving away his whole salary again. He doesn't like Dunder Mifflin. He doesn't like anyone else he works with. He would move gladly for that job. So
if Pam wasn't there, he would.
Right. So, like, Pam doesn't really have anything going on with herself at this time. You know, she's not like, doing the art or whatever. And there's, like, an idea that said mostly by Pam that he's, like, not pushing himself and is kind of not motivated here and stuff like that. And she's not, I mean, it's not her fault, but she is kind of the cause of that.
Yeah.
And that's going to be, like, an arc for the whole show, in a way, is Jim wondering what the hell he's doing there.
Yeah.
And it's like he was, like, happy to hang around until he got Pam, but then after that he's like, all right, well, I got Pam, why do I need to still be at work? Like, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it takes a while for that to happen, but and he does leave before that, obviously.
Yeah. And I feel like his only purpose there is to try to get Pam to date him, and then when she has even the slightest notion that may not happen,
mm-hmm.
outside of the fact that she's in a relationship, then he gets like immediately like really defensive and kind of mean towards her.
Yeah.
And she picks it up, I think, as like, oh, he probably still has a crush on me.
What?
Does she know he has a crush?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's.
I just watched the Booze Cruise, so.
Oh, okay,
I'm like getting
yeah.
confused. Oh. Of the timeline.
Well, I mean, I thought you just meant she could tell.
She can tell.
Which she's
kind
like, of. She's in denial.
Yeah.
But
she doesn't know for sure until the Booze Cruise or yeah. like after the Booze Cruise when Michael spills the beans.
So it's Pam's in a lot better position in this one. And I don't know if she has anything subconscious that she like would like him to leave in a way, because then like the temptation would
yeah.
be gone. But she wants the best for him. And she's been saying that several episodes. You know, she wants him to be like living his full life, and she can tell he's not.
Yeah.
And so she would give up the only person that she enjoys hanging out with at the office if it meant that they could go do something good. And Jim would do that for her too.
Yeah.
But
begrudgingly.
I mean, he would want her to like leave and go to art school if she wanted.
That's
but
true.
But he's not willing to sacrifice her happiness for them, but he'd sacrifice his.
Yeah, that's true. And I feel like Pam is always referencing how talented Jim is or how enthusiastic he is when it's something that he cares about.
Mm-hmm.
And she really recognizes that. And then she also, you know, is starting to recognize the fact that he must be there for some other reason. Because you have to put two and two together. Like, he's enthusiastic only when it's something that he cares about.
Mm-hmm.
And he obviously doesn't care about Dunder Mifflin. And so then why is he there? The only thing that he's enthusiastic about is their friendship.
And why is he so good at his job? kind of irritate you a little bit? Like,
yeah.
Because he, you know, he did sales during the break, during the office Olympics at lunch, you know. And then now it's like, as soon as they're like, what about Jim? And he's just like, no, he brings in money. You know, like, he doesn't care, but like, they would still rather fire Stanley than him. Even yeah. though I think later on it's pretty clear that, well, and also he's like toying with firing Dwight. Dwight's the best salesman. I think probably Stanley is second. And I would think even Phyllis is above Jim. Because like later on, it's like he doesn't work hard. That's why he's not the best salesman. But he's not like as bad as Andy.
Yeah. And he has like a few clients that are really big.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's his major asset. But I don't know. Jim, he's definitely going to win the popularity contest.
Yeah. Because Phyllis loved his three-hole punch.
Yeah.
And even Ryan kind of smiled, although he wasn't that. He was like, what is Ryan ever doing?
Yeah, what is he
Fire the temp.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Why would you even have a temp if you like have too many expenses? But yeah, I don't know. I think that as far as like Jim being a good salesman, I think the job is pretty easy. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially considering how much they get paid. If they get paid $50,000 and all they're doing is like, they don't really do that much work.
Right. I mean, yeah.
Maybe they do. I don't know.
So $50,000. I mean, for some of the other jobs, maybe.
Yeah.
How much is $50,000 per hour?
It's like it's probably $30 an hour.
$30 an hour? Let's see.
Yeah.
Okay.
At least. 32, so, I would say.
Okay, so let's say 50 grand, right? Even though that's including benefits, so it's probably less.
But still.
Okay.
Say 50, because you'd have to pay for insurance anyway.
And let's say you got 2 weeks off.
Okay.
So that would be $1,000 a week.
Divided by 40.
$25 an hour.
Okay. Seems accurate.
Plus you have to come in on Saturdays when you lose basketball. Also, this is separate from the downsizing in a way.
I mean, yeah.
Because I was thinking that earlier. Why did they get a temp starting when they're going to be downsized?
I guess
when they talk about downsizing, it's like they're talking about the whole branch, even though you can downsize part of a branch.
But yeah, I mean, Brianne was in the season one recap, was talking about how that was kind of an overarching theme and kind of never resolved. And it's like looming.
Yeah,
and now
it hasn't resolved yet.
Someone's actually been fired, but still it's a thing.
It's still coming, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, well, I don't know. The whole thing doesn't really make sense to me. And obviously, you just look at the departments and be like, we have three accountants. We fire Kevin. Although, they make a very strong point this time that Kevin is pretty sharp. He catches on to that three-department thing really fast. And so, like, why would you get rid of Kevin? And like I said in that other episode, it doesn't seem like Kevin is dumb or bad at accounting.
Yeah.
When's the first time he seems like he's bad at accounting? I would say maybe like when they're playing now. Is it when they're playing ping pong? Because then like when Kevin says, he says he wants help with his travel expenses and Kevin says Oscar does his. That might be one of the earlier references of him actually not being good. And then like they pile up.
Yeah. Clevin. I'm interested to see when that happens. But I wish we could just fire Sherry.
I wish so too. Oh, she's still on the line.
Sorry. Okay, anyway, bye.
On Angela, she's got a sign, even though she's a cat person, she's got a little sign on her cubicle that says, "Will love for food," and it's a dog.
It's a weird picture of a dog.
Do you notice that one before?
Yeah, I did, and before I thought it was viewing. Really weird.
I just noticed it for the first time.
Did you notice what was written on Dwight's resume, his additional resume, the martial arts one? There's some handwritten notes on there. I wish I could read them.
Oh, yeah.
Read them and you know what they say, then you should email us.
The off5podcast@gmail.com. So what about this prank? Do you like the prank that Pam and Jim are doing?
Yeah, I really do. I think it's like...
It's pretty good.
Good-hearted. It's not evil.
And it's a lot of work
for
them, but it's like, it's really funny to make a resume for someone else and apply for jobs.
Yeah. Although I made a resume for myself. I filled out an application today that said, what can you bring to this company that no one else can? And I just said, a dog-like obedience to authority.
Oh, that sounds bad.
I know. I got an interview, dude.
Yeah, that's great.
So
Congrats.
Hopefully they're Office fans.
So this is one thing that's kind of funny. Because when I write my notes, I just kind of shorthand things. So under Pam, I put prank and gym job.
Hmm.
Does Pam give someone a gym job? Never mind. I'm cutting that. But that made me laugh, the gym job. So let's talk about Devin.
Never mind. I'm cutting that.
We hardly knew you.
For a note for myself in the future, cut that.
Hey, Nathan. What's up? How's it going today? I feel like we never talk anymore. Cut that last part.
Also, things are falling apart with the Cohen-Mueller investigation.
Yeah, what's going on with it now?
Why, are you taking your knee brace off?
Yeah, my foot's falling asleep.
I hate when that happens.
I know. It's a new problem. New old man problem. Speaking of old man, what about Devin?
Oh, I thought you were going to say Creed.
Oh, yeah. What about Creed?
You will not regret this, he says.
Devin is terrible.
Yeah, but I think Michael will regret that during the quality inspection debacle.
Yeah, that's true. Do you think Devin and Creed were both in that department?
Possibly.
Because they were sitting near each other. They weren't like in the sales area.
Yeah, I think Devin probably was in the quality. And they should have fired Creed.
Well, maybe Devin would have done the same thing.
Maybe. To beloved animals.
Creed, yeah. Creed really stops this whole process by being aggressive and yelling at Michael. He can tell. He senses weakness in Michael.
Yeah.
They point out that it's bad to do this on Halloween because it's going to ruin the party. And that's true. But what's even worse about it is having to get fired in a costume. Mm-hmm. Dressed like a hobo, standing out in front of everybody, or even Creed getting fired dressed as
a vampire.
What if Kevin had gotten fired? You're sitting there in his like jumpsuit, like his Lycra spandex.
But the premise of the
crying into his mask
is really, really funny. That like Halloween is obviously on the last day of the month.
Yep,
and it signifies a deadline for Michael, and so spooky. You know, yeah, it's a good. Coincidence to have it as, but you know, the party was already ruined because Pam brought
another
brownies
dessert.
When Angela already made cookies. They're in the same category. So
I thought it was funny that Pam took the time right after that, because Angela's being stingy, to say, I bet Angela just gives out toothbrushes or pennies,
walnuts.
She brought cookies.
Yeah. So obviously she doesn't have a thing against sweets.
Yeah. It's just weird that it came right after that. You know, like if one thing, if Angela had brought like tofu bars or something.
Or walnuts.
I like walnuts. Why are walnuts getting slandered in this episode?
Because I'm just picturing like you have to crack it and she doesn't give you a nutcracker.
Yeah. And also they're not to take home. Yeah. I don't come to your house and take your Hello Kitty backpack. Out of context, that's really weird. Okay, so Devin, we're not going to see him again. We've seen him a couple times.
Bye, Devin. Actually, we do see him again.
At the finale.
Yeah.
Because he gets rehired, because apparently he's still ready to get...
Did you read that on Wikipedia?
No, I knew that.
Oh.
I knew that.
I read it on Wikipedia.
Yeah, because when...
I try to block out season 7.
When Dwight...
Season 9 from my...
When break. Dwight becomes the manager, he fires Kevin and rehires Devin.
Oh.
He said we can only have one Evan. And we don't have an Evans, so.
An Evans.
Okay, so obviously Michael did really bad managing this time.
Yeah.
When Devin would have been okay being fired.
Yeah.
He wasn't okay with Michael changing his mind. Why did then he say that he would look stupid? Once Devin said that, he should have just called Creed back in and been like, you tricked me. You are fired.
Yeah.
That would have been less bad, because at least he picked him the first time, you know.
Or he should have just fired Stanley from the get-go. No,
he never said he wanted to fire him. Certainly didn't want to do it.
Gonna see him. He wanted someone to volunteer to be fired.
Yeah, and when Dwight is listing off people they could fire, he says like Jim, and he says no, and then he says Angela, and he says Stanley when he's listing them off, and Michael's real quick to say no to all of those. You know, Stanley's mm-hmm. one of the early ones before mm-hmm. before Dwight's just listing everyone, because he starts off with the salesman, but probably because Dwight would appreciate the lack of yeah. competition. Maybe they'll split up their clients or something. But he didn't seem like he wanted to fire Stanley at all. So it's kind of weird that he picked him. Maybe it's because he wasn't wearing a costume.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that he didn't fire Angela, even though Dwight suggested it, because Dwight would be really sad if he didn't have that later on.
Cutthroat. Previously, we said that they might have already been hooking up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because of sexual not. Harassment? No. Mm-mm. We were wrong about that. And I think mm-hmm. we should apologize, but I don't want to.
I will not.
I'm refusing.
I'm refusing to apologize.
I'm going to decline to apologize right now. Yeah, so I think we covered all the Jim stuff. I think we covered all the Michael stuff.
They're so tied in.
Yeah.
To this episode that, you know, I don't think either one of them are the murderer, but Michael definitely could have done better. I really like the Jim and Michael interaction. I think that was one of my favorite
mm-hmm.
interactions in the episode, the role playing.
And Michael and Dwight.
Yeah.
The scene where Dwight's yeah. trying to convince him to fire other people and then Michael's talking to his fake head about Dwight. That's all pretty good. It's pretty good fun. But later on, when he thinks that Dwight was going to leave, which admittedly, you know, Dwight was already lying and trying to leverage. But that's when he says the most hurtful things to Dwight, like, but I won't be there here for you. And he's like, who cares? And like, oh, it would have been would have solved all my problems if you were gone.
Yeah, but you know that if that actually happened, he would be really sad, because that happens later on when he's at Office Depot and he goes in, or Office Max, and he goes and like tries to get Staples. Him back. Staples. Yeah, that one. But yeah, I don't know. That is really funny. That's like such a Michael thing.
He doesn't realize he'd miss him. But also, once he does that, that would have been a good time for Michael to be like, you know, like, oh, well, if you really wanted to find someone, he could have been like, that's extremely disloyal and you're fired for that. But instead, he's not actually going to fire Dwight. He brings in so much money. If if they lose one of those big salesperson, I don't think that he realizes this, but they'd probably have to be firing someone else soon. Because that's like the income. None of the other people in the office make money.
Exactly. And Dwight is so integral to the documentary.
Mm-hmm.
He's a main, you know, reason. Yeah.
Later on, when Jim leaves, the documentary goes to Stanford. And when Dwight quits, like you were talking about, they go with him to Staples a little bit.
We don't follow Devin.
No. And at this point, do you think that they would follow one of them? Like, we haven't really...
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because it doesn't really seem... It seems like too soon. It seems like they would just switch who they were focusing on.
I think that they would definitely follow Jim, because he's been the star of most of the episodes. I mean, the love interest, the Office Olympics, he was, you know, the major part of that. He got Amy Adams to go out with him.
Mm-hmm. Still going out.
Dwight, I think that they would follow him too, just because he's an interesting character and we've learned a lot about him.
Mm-hmm.
Devin hasn't really even been introduced. So
no.
The documentary crew is just like, eh.
I don't know if they wanted to fire somebody that they just picked Devin. Like, he was Ben in other episodes. I'm sure he didn't know in season one that he was going to be cut off just because they wanted it for a plot line. Because at this point, they could fire a lot of people and it wouldn't really matter.
Kelly, they could fire Phyllis, like
it wouldn't matter too much, but later on all those people got like bigger and bigger parts.
I'm so glad that they didn't fire Kelly.
Devin doesn't have a personality though. I don't know how he would have really added that much to the show.
No,
they really picked the right guy to go.
Yeah, because it was between Creed or him, really, because they could have become the same character. Like, they could have fired Creed.
Mm-hmm.
And then Devin could have become that weird one that sprouts mung beans in his desk.
Yeah. Even in this, they're basically the exact same scene. They're being fired with Michael, and they're trying to talk their way out of it. Creed has so much more going on.
Yeah,
charisma-wise. You know, Devin's just like, Let's fight this fight. You shouldn't have been firing me. And it's like...
And they're like, meet me at Poor Richard's. Everybody else except for
Michael. It's just like... It's boring.
Okay.
He might be a good worker, but he doesn't need to be in the office.
Yeah. He doesn't bring any character, and that's what we're really looking for.
Yeah, that's why Dwight brought him back at the end. They're like, you were a good employee. You didn't test well. Sorry. No one cared about you. But now that the crew's gone, we'd really like to have some quality control for once. Oh, and also because... Because Creed leaves at the end.
I can't talk about season 9.
I can.
I blocked it from my memory. I'm just going to, like, when I see season 9 for this podcast, it's going to be like I'm seeing it for the first time.
That'll be exciting. You know, I think you're going to find that season 9 is not the worst season.
What is the worst season? Season 8?
7? I think so. 8? I think 8. For me. Well, but we are all the seasons. I'm not a hater like you.
Well, I mean, we're just living in the golden era right now. Season 2 is full of quotes. Like, every quote in this episode I've used more than once in real life.
This is like... We're like right now, we're like in the economy in the late 90s. And we're like, nothing bad will ever happen to America. No wars.
The bubble, the housing bubble is just getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah. And that's what you want bubbles to do.
Yeah.
How big can this bubble get? Everyone always
says. Until it pops.
So much for our tight and efficient episode.
We're in the Clinton era.
That's true. We can live a little.
Yeah, we could do whatever we want. Monica Lewinsky is a topic. Yes, I will take more champagne. And I will dress up as Monica Lewinsky, a topical, you know, Halloween costume.
Yep.
Janet Jackson's boob is a thing. Those are the...
I want to see what that costume looked like. What do you think? Was it also papier-mâché?
Disgusting.
Did he order it in advance?
Yeah, it probably was papier-mâché.
Probably like a big one he wore on his chest, like one right in the middle, right?
And it then... probably just looked just like my Wilson boob costume.
No, but...
Big boobs.
Do you remember that that jewelry that she had on her nipple?
No, I don't remember specifically what Janet Jackson's breast looked like, but...
Well, it had like jewelry on it. That's why people were like, was that on purpose? Why would you wear jewelry around your nipple if it weren't going to be showing it to anybody? Like black panties. According to 10 Things I Hate About You. I don't know. So anyway.
Interesting.
Should we even do overrated and underrated? We know whether or not this episode was good. We don't need to worry about what Michael Scannanena from TV
Let's
Squad.
Let's just go into our rating because we don't care about Michael Scannanena.
Oh, there's something called Television Without Pity. They rated it a B+. That's good enough for us. What do you think?
Yeah.
B+?
I mean, you already know what I'm going to give.
I don't even know because we need like a 7-point skill, honestly.
Yeah.
What about Dundee, though?
I'm going to give it to Creed Bratton.
Dang it. Me too.
Really?
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, that's good. It's cool that we agree. Creed.
A Creed. We agreed.
We agreed on this one. What's your rationale?
He talked his way back into having a job.
Hmm. He told the boss what to do.
Yeah, he said, let's fight this like the old days.
What are you talking about?
I like Creed.
The only thing standing between Creed, the only difference between Creed and a homeless man is this job. And he'll do anything to fight for it. And he'll do that in the future.
Yeah.
This
is the beginning of a Creed era.
Yeah. This is Creed coming into his own.
Quintessential
finally.
Creed.
Oh, I have one thing about Creed.
Okay.
When he takes out his vampire thing, does he have teeth? It looks like he has no teeth other than those. Like he like had dentures and he took them out and put in plastic vampire teeth.
I wouldn't
teeth.
Be surprised. That's a real costume. That's
there's just like
dedication.
A little. There's like a look, you know, like when people don't have teeth, you just
it looks
like
you don't have teeth.
You just like see it a little bit, like the indentation, even if your mouth's closed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. It looked like that for a second when he took out his vampire teeth. But it's so weird that you wouldn't have your dentures in too. It's like. If you ever worn those vampire teeth, you like drool constantly when you have them on. It's hard to keep your spit in your mouth.
Yuck. Yeah, Creed is getting the Dundee. He's getting a double Dundee.
Yeah, good for him.
This is our first double Dundee.
Double Dundee. I was going to fake out and pretend like I was giving it to Michael. But I don't even know how I was going to do that. He did such a bad job in this episode.
Yeah, he's not a good manager.
Is he the murderer, though?
No.
I think so.
Well, yeah.
He murdered Devin.
You're right. You're right. He is.
And, you know, it's okay if you murder someone as long as you give them a gift certificate to Chili's.
Was it a gift certificate to Chili's?
Or was it Applebee's?
I can't remember.
No, I think it was Chili's, yeah. The gift certificate, not a gift card, because this is, well, I don't know. How did he get a gift certificate? Probably like a bonus or something. He probably got a bonus for firing somebody. Oh, well, later on he does, remember?
Oh,
he is
yeah,
the murderer.
Yeah, he is
he
the murderer.
He got a bonus for this.
He's a murderer.
Yeah.
You're right.
Take that, Michael.
Michael. You don't get a Dundee, Michael. You get murderer.
Yeah. You get an award with a guy who's murdered someone on top. Not a businessman.
Yeah.
It's like he looks like a bowler, except the thing in his hand is someone's head, and his fingers are going into his eye sockets and his thumb into his mouth.
Oh my God.
And the mouth has vampire teeth. Gross. Why would you even say that?
I didn't.
Why would you make that up?
Okay, what's your rating? I'm going to guess that your rating is probably going to be Beach Day. Because mine is Beach Day.
Is it Beach Day?
Yeah. Actually.
I think. It's so hard to think. Like, I don't know how much I'm going to like each individual episode as they come up.
I know. That's why I always give it Alfredo's Pizza Cafe. But there's a few quotes in this episode that I use more than regular.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm going to give it Beach Day.
I'll give it Beach Day as well. Yeah.
Wow, we give the same Dunnie and same. The same Beach Day.
Same Z's. It'll be easy to remember this one. Yeah. I mean, you're right. Part of me wants to like bump these episodes down when they don't have like a huge zany thing going on to remember.
But this is two.
It's just so solid.
So good.
There's nothing wrong with this episode at all. No. And it has good quotes. It's got, I don't know, it's so memorable with the.
Yeah.
I do get some of the Halloween episodes mixed up in my head sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, I really love the one where they all come in as the Joker, but.
I like when Gabe dresses up as Lady Gaga.
Okay, yeah.
But, I mean, the thing about this episode in particular is that even though we critique it and we say, you know, this episode has no basis in reality as far as, like, having to fire somebody, it's still such a good episode. Like, maybe the plot isn't based on something that might actually happen, but it creates a situation for the characters that is so good.
Definitely. It's such a simple plot, really, yeah. In a way. And then in addition to that, the B plot is the prank. But
yeah.
But that prank involves Jim and Pam and Dwight, who are also all involved in the other one. They're not like, it's not like they're like off somewhere else doing this. Like Jim almost gets fired. Pam almost gets fired. Dwight's intimately involved with this. And then like they also converge with the job offer going straight into someone's getting let go, you know?
Yeah, the plots are intertwined and mm-hmm. the characters are intertwined and Michael is at the center of it.
And you get, good scenes with Michael and several different characters, right?
Like
you get the three main ones, but you also get
Kelly, you got
Devin, Kelly,
Angela.
Yeah, yeah.
There's so many good moments.
With the party planning.
It's like every moment is classic and every moment is memorable.
I almost want a pretzel day now, but I'm going to say Beach Day still. So who does Devin not invite to Poor Richard's? Dwight, Angela, Michael?
I thought it was just Michael.
Dwight, right?
Dwight isn't
I don't think
invited?
Dwight was invited.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, obviously, he's trying to invite nearly everyone so we can tell them, the rest of them, to go to hell.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, there we go. He invites everyone in the office, excluding Michael, Dwight, Angela, and Creed. Oh, Creed.
Oh, Creed,
because
yeah.
Because he stabbed him right in the back.
God.
He calls him the temp. That's like the ultimate insult. Like, he's like, he's just inviting he's inviting everyone he knows. Even that guy he doesn't know, but not you.
The temp.
It's like when Jim invites the...
And then Michael's
the tech
just...
guy to the party, but not Michael.
Oh,
the
yeah.
The guy who started that day.
Yeah. And then Michael's just picking up the torn up pieces of the gift card.
Do you think he's going to tape them back together? Or is he just doing a little bit of... He must have been,
He's
right?
probably just, like, embarrassed.
He's going to go to Chili's to drown
then
his sorrows.
He goes back to his condo.
Does he?
By himself. Yeah, and he hands out trick-or-treat.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Trick-or-treats to the kids.
So the documentary crew's like, what are you doing tonight? Can we come watch you give candy? Like, don't worry, we'll just be in the bushes outside. Right? Like,
I know, but it's so sweet.
Standing
that was
in
a
front,
sweet
in his front yard.
Yeah, that would be weird. Kids, no, don't go
don't
to that
go to
house.
House. Something's weird's going on.
There's a camera crew and only a guy by himself.
Hey, go, can you sign a release? Can I get your kid to sign a release?
I'm going to need a release from the lion. And the princess.
You're getting all that. I like how he just gives the candy away.
Yeah.
Is this the first time? I know Michael's talked about him wanting to have kids and grandkids, but is it the first time he's like really shown his like kid loving side. Like,
yeah, and it's also like a kid lover.
Little remember? Kid lover.
Little kid lover.
He's a little kid lover, but what was a good quote from this one? Who are we getting in with? Not Dwight.
Not Nathan. Choose Addy.
To fire? That's what we're talking about.
Oh, yeah. It was...
No, you're getting jobs. You're not losing them.
I know. I have so many jobs.
Actually, when you get too many jobs, you'll probably have to lose some of the,
I know.
The other ones.
I want to.
Nah. The episode's over.
Yeah, this is BTS to the BTS. Hopefully I can get someone to be the chimney sweep because I want to be Mary Poppins.
You're going
to
be the chimney. Yeah.
Oh. And on that note.